This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. Die Roten Punkte is the brother-sister band that has toured the world. Their name is German for the red dots, and like many bands, their music is the underscoring for the drama that occurs within the band. And yet, unlike many bands, their drama takes place on stage. Still, they call themselves the best band in the world. Best band or funniest? I mean, they have been described as pants-wettingly funny. We'll let you decide when they join us later. Yeah. Either way, they are an unusual pair, but the idea of Charlotte as Hollywood East may also be thought of as an unusual pairing, and that is where we start this hour. The city of Charlotte just voted to buy the old Eastland Mall for $13.2 million in the hopes that having a single owner may make this white elephant an easier sell. They're also hoping that Eastland might become an attractive location for a TV and movie production studio, with the old anchor stores serving as sound stages. And here to talk about this possibility is Pat Mumford, key business executive for the City of Charlotte's Neighborhood and Business Services Unit. I didn't know we had one, but welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Mike. Good to be here.
Good to see you again. Also with us is one of those people who might help the city realize their tinsel town dreams. Bert Hess has over 25 years' experience running companies with multi-million dollar budgets and has a vision for turning Eastland into what he calls Central Avenue Pictures, a working studio lot. Welcome to you as well.
Thank you, Mike.
Good to see you. Pat, when the city decided to buy the mall, it did so because it felt that something needed to be done out there with that property after all those years of it sitting vacant. And by going in and buying up the various pieces from various different owners and putting them all together under one owner, they could then sell it off much easier to another, make it more attractive for an outside interest to buy. Why would it be easier for the city to deal with Belk and Sears and the other owners of the mall than another owner coming in to buy all those little pieces?
Well, a couple of things, Mike. The city has other motives for buying that property. It's to revitalize the neighborhoods and the commercial corridors that have been in decline for a decade now. A private owner would buy that and want an immediate return on that investment just on that site. So the city is looking to temporarily hold that property, go out with a request for proposal from developers to see exactly how we can have that redeveloped the best way, put it back into private hands, get it back on the tax rolls. And a private developer doing that right now with the difficulty in getting financing would be, they'd be very hard-pressed to make that happen.
And $13.2 million, although it sounds like a lot of money, is actually less than was budgeted for to buy this mall and less than the mall was being offered for several years ago, right?
Well, just to be clear, it does sound like a lot of money, and it is a lot of money. But the value of that property has continued to go down, and we feel pretty certain that it's not going to go down any further.
Now, I don't know how I heard about this movie studio idea, but I heard about it a long time ago. It's kind of been percolating under the surface for a long time. So I'm curious, did the city buy this property? Is this one of several ideas that the city has that might come to fruition, or is this the catalyst that caused them to say, okay, let's bite the bullet now, buy it now, because we can sell it now?
Actually, it was the value that was so depressed that caused the city to act now. We don't think that the value will stay that low, so now is the right time. And a broker assembled all these parcels and brought that deal to the city. Mm-hmm. The trick is getting seven different owners together mm-hmm. wanting to sell at the same time. We're not sure that would happen again. So the planets were aligned to make that sale appropriate.
But if a broker puts all these owners together and brings the sum of its parts to the city, why couldn't it have just brought the sum of its parts to Bert Hess or to some other entrepreneur who wants to, or business entity that wants to have a piece of property that size?
Well, that could have happened. The closing date was established in the contracts to happen by the end of August, so timing would have been an issue probably for somebody else. The city does have money budgeted, as you mentioned. And we were positioned to take action very quickly. And we are patient enough in a short time frame mm-hmm. to buy that, hold it, reposition it, and get it back out into the market. Somebody else would need to buy it and make the pro forma work.
Now, you mentioned that the city has been concerned for some time about that side of town, and that particular piece of property that has been languishing for a long time out there, and I'm just curious as to what you see, and maybe the city doesn't have a position on this. Maybe they don't care whether this becomes Hollywood East or whether it becomes another shopping mall or it becomes a miniature golf course, just for, I don't know. Does the city care? And if so, what does the city see in what would happen if Eastland became a movie studio, in terms of what it would do to the neighborhood?
Well, we're concerned with the new development and how it will impact long-term that community. So if the film studio idea makes sense, and we do believe that there's some validity to that, we need to know more about it, then that's fine. Mm-hmm. If it's a different development that is going to have some staying power and some be sustainable for decades, that's what we're after. That used to be the place for East Charlotte. That was sort of the defining area for East Charlotte, and it is not that anymore. We'd like to get more of a sense of place back and begin to, mm-hmm. to through organic growth, revitalize that area.
For those people who are newcomers to town, they may not realize the important role that Eastland Mall played in the city, particularly, in the 70s and 80s? Mm-hmm. It eclipsed. I mean, South Park was pretty much nothing when Eastland Mall came around, and Eastland was the mall, even though South Park existed, and somehow it fell into decline. It's been sitting there vacant for several years now. Bert Hess is with us. He's a producer for Central Avenue Pictures, and although I am not familiar with your company, your website says that you are a film company strategically placed in both Charlotte and Los Angeles, whose mission is to create, produce, and deliver films of the utmost quality with messages that inspire and transform the audience. L.A., I understand. Charlotte, I do not. Why do you have two centers of operation?
Well, I've been in the film business, Mike, for the last 12 years, and I live in Charlotte, and I've been in Charlotte for the last 24 years. And the film industry is a worldwide industry. It's not Hollywood. Hollywood is a location. The major studios have lost a lot of power in financing, production, and distribution. When you consider that last year there were over 500 films in the theaters alone, mm-hmm. if you have seven major studios, and those seven major studios on average make around 10 films a year that they finance, produce, and distribute. So now you've got 70 films basically coming from the seven major studios. Where do the other 400 movies come from that are in the theaters alone? They come from independent film production companies that the studios then would distribute.
Yeah, we as moviegoers see the 20th Century Fox, I can't think of the Paramount, Universal. Right. We see all these labels at the front and backs of these movies and assume that these big studios did these films. Not so. When you see a film by Lionsgate or name me another one.
Miramax.
Right. They produced the film, and 20th Century Fox or Paramount or Columbia Pictures, they are just simply distribution.
Correct. The major studios, they're looking for product or films that have residual effect or they can be, you know, one, two, three in a line of films. If they have a potential to be a ride at a theme park, you know, things like that. They're looking for merchandising. They're not necessarily looking for films under $50 million. So the seven theaters or the seven studios, when they produce these what are called tentpole movies, these are movies that have budgets of $100 million and up. They're the Spider-Mans, the Batmans. They're not looking for product to finance or make that are under that. And that's why the independent film producer has become so prevalent now in the film industry.
So your point is that these independent films are being made anywhere and everywhere.
Correct.
So why not here?
Correct.
And independent films, when we talk about movie production, we're not just talking about movies, theatrical release movies. We're talking about what? Television shows? We're talking about movies direct to DVD?
Exactly. Our vision for potentially the mall property is to create what we call a creative destination. Not just our plan is not to just build some big cavernous sound stages and hopefully fill them up and rent some equipment to Hollywood to make a motion picture here. We want it to be a destination where content, be it TV content or film content, can be created, potentially financed, marketed, and distributed from this location as opposed to just cavernous sound stages.
You're the guy that has been described as the man with the vision to make this happen.
I've been described by a lot of other things than that.
So give me your vision. How do you if this comes to fruition, what would Eastland Mall look like? How would you use the buildings that are there? Would you use the building? Would you just tear it down and start over? What would you do?
I think one of the first things that I think we and the city do agree on, that a lot of other people agree on, is it's going to take something big and substantial to turn that area around. It's not going to take a small retailer or a couple coffee shops or a restaurant. It's going to take something big. Our vision is something big. We're talking about 80 acres out there that would have potentially an art school attached to it, that would have an office park attached to it, and then would also have the sound stages attached. So again, it's a creative destination. There's two economic impacts. There's the economic impact within the studio walls that happens with the sound stages being leased out, the studio tours, the movies being made. But then there's the economic impact outside the studio wall, where the small boutique restaurants now start popping up, where the florists start popping up, where the coffee shops start popping up to support the people.
And do they start popping up on the 81 acres that is now Eastland Mall, or do they start popping up in the neighborhood around that location?
Well, hopefully they start popping up outside the studio walls.
Okay. So the actual physical Eastland Mall, mm-hmm. as you see it being converted into this movie enterprise.
Right.
The anchor stores, Sears, Belk, I'm not sure, JCPenney was out there, I think, Burlington Coat Factory, they would become what, the sound stages? You have multiple sound stages? Because you need big buildings for sound stages.
Well, what we're being told by some of the architects, they become leveled.
Okay.
We really can't.
You'd start over again.
Yes, we really can't do too much with the existing structure. You cannot... What we're being told by some architects, you cannot go in there and just start tearing out interior walls, and there are a lot of columns.
They support the roof.
Yes.
Yeah. It would have to be built to spec.
Correct.
Okay. So you're essentially talking about going in there and demolishing the place.
Correct.
And starting over again.
Correct.
But it would be several sound stages, and then offices, production offices, where scripts get written and movies get...
Yes. It would be for any... service provider that wants to provide their service or product to the film industry, accountants, lawyers, graphic artists, talent agencies, all those people who want to be closer to the film production, uh-huh. they are going to have a lot better chance of being tied into this.
Why would Charlotte – you can shoot a movie anywhere.
Right.
And you can pretty much put up a soundstage anywhere, I suppose. But mm-hmm. what would be the impetus for producers and creative types who work in the industry – to plunk themselves down in Charlotte as opposed to Los Angeles, which is it's going to still be the epicenter of all this for years and years and years to come. What's the impetus for them to come here and put all their eggs in this basket?
North Carolina, over the last several years, has become, quote, very film-friendly. They have beautiful areas to film in, and yet the North Carolina government has understood now and understands the value that the film industry can have on an area or a region. The area around Charlotte is very attractive from locations. We can shoot in the mountains. We can shoot in towns that look like time is forgotten in the 1940s, or we can shoot downtown in a cosmopolitan area. Mm-hmm. The two things that films basically need are locations and sound stages. The closer those two things or items are together, the least expensive it is to make a movie.
Now, Wilmington has a leg up on us because they've had a sound stage down there, or a couple of them, for quite a while, and movies and TV shows have been shot and are being shot in that area. When we come back from the break, I want to ask this question, and that is Charlotte in a better location? Can we overcome their head start because we're in the middle of the mountains and the beaches and the Piedmont? We'll come back with more in a moment. Charlotte Talks on WFA. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Bylow Supermarket, serving the Southeast for over 50 years, featuring Full Circle products, Bylow's complete line of natural and organic foods, store locator, and fuel perks. Program details at buy-low.com. Well, he's been here for a few months. We've talked about him. Now we're going to talk to him. Dr. Heath Morrison is the new superintendent of Charlotte-Mecklenburg Schools. And as he prepares to open the schools for the fall, he's also coping with long-term budget struggles, holding town hall meetings, and doing what everybody does when entering a new job, learning the system and the politics. Dr. Heath Morrison joins us tomorrow to talk about all of this and to take your calls as well, tomorrow at 9.
On the next Diane Rehm show, the U.S. Postal Service is bracing for its first ever default on billions of dollars, options for resolving its financial troubles, and the future of the nation's mail service.
You can join the Diane Rehm Show this morning from 10 to noon right after Charlotte Talks here on 90.7 WFAE, Charlotte's NPR news source.
It's Charlotte Talks on Listener Funded, 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking to Pat Mumford, key business executive at the City of Charlotte's Neighborhood and Business Services Unit, which we should do a whole show on because I didn't know we had one. And Bert Hess, who is a producer for Central Avenue Pictures. And we're talking about the fact that the city has just bought, or will buy by the end of August, the Eastland Mall, which went out of business, 10 years ago. And it's been sitting there like a white elephant on Central Avenue. And one of the ideas posed is to turn it into a movie studio. Bert Hess is one of the brainiacs behind that idea. We were talking about what the movies need when they go to shoot a film, and sound stages being one of them. And you're talking about this becoming a magnet for the creative process, not just the movies being shot there, but the people who work behind the scenes, from script writers to accountants to agents, etc. But Wilmington has had a soundstage and a couple of them for several years, and they shoot movies and television down there. What makes Charlotte? What would give Charlotte a leg up to overcome the head start that they have?
Charlotte, I think, has a lot more to offer from a variety of ancillary activities for people who come into an area. We have an NFL team, we have an NBA team, we have a lot of more cultural events. But by no means are we going to be competing necessarily with Wilmington. We will be tying into their system even potentially. I talked with the CEO of Screen Gem Studios. He is very supportive of a studio being placed here in Charlotte. They don't view this as competition for Wilmington. They view this as another opportunity to build the recognition of the North Carolina film industry in general, and now saying we have sound stages in Wilmington and we have sound stages in Charlotte, North Carolina. So by no means is this competition.
Now, Homeland, for instance, the Showtime TV show already shoots here, and there's an Alan Ball series that hasn't gone on the air yet that is shooting here. And Hunger Games shot here in part. So what would they have gained had you been in existence up and running when they shot their stuff?
Well, there are different stages to film production. What they're doing right now is they're basically using Charlotte as a location to shoot these products. And then they move everything outside of Charlotte, even North Carolina, for what's called post-production and editing. With a full-service studio located in this area, they can stay here longer, and now they can do more work, and it can become more cost-effective for them to create the product.
Now, as I understand it, you're out beating the bushes to raise $50 million.
Minimum
for this project from sources all over the place. How optimistic are you that in this economy, at this time, in this city, which only has minimal involvement and experience with film, that you'll be successful in encouraging investors to give you $50 million for this project?
Well, I was involved with a project around 8 years ago, and Pat was very helpful with this project also called the U.S. National Whitewater Center. And I figured if we could convince, Charlotte that building a man-made whitewater rapid was in the best interest, that convincing them that a film studio, which most people know what a film studio does and what a film is, as opposed to what a water park and a U.S. Olympic training facility is, it should be a little easier. But I'm very optimistic. I work at this full-time, and we have investors actually next week coming in from the Middle East to look at this. So by no means are we limiting our potential investment pool to Charlotte.
Okay, so now let's go back to the Whitewater Center, because the city and the county have a financial stake in that, in the success of that, or the county does, doesn't it?
Both entities.
Okay, both entities
right.
do. And it got off to a rocky start. They were losing money for a very long time. How has that project worked out?
Well, what was happening with that is there was too much debt. The project cost more to build than originally anticipated. What's interesting and doesn't get much play, the traffic through the turnstiles has actually always been relatively good, and it's very good now. So from an operating standpoint, that facility is making money. The debt has been restructured with the banks, and so now it's doing fine.
But this would not be a project like this, like that. There would be no city-county money involved in this. Once you sell it, it's theirs to do with as they choose.
That is the intention, correct.
Okay. I've heard about this, as I said, for months and months and months, this possibility. Is Central Avenue Pictures one of several TV and movie production entities that is looking into this, or are they the only ones proposing that the mall be turned into this kind of facility?
Now, through the Film Commission, we understand there are several entities. Now, are they single groups or partnerships? We're not sure, but several people have expressed interest in this site in Charlotte.
What other kinds of businesses have expressed interest?
Well, film industry businesses.
But what other kind of businesses? Because this may not come to fruition. And, you know, people in show business, having spent some time in it myself, they're always on the verge of something great happening. And then it doesn't. So are there other business entities looking into buying this property as well? Because the city is about to be on the hook for $13.2 million.
That is correct. I would say broadly, yes, there are others interested, and there have been for a decade, but nobody has come to the table with the money to make it happen. So the city is taking a cautious approach. We'll spend the rest of this year to develop a request for proposals from groups like BERTS, mm-hmm. and that will go out in December. We'll receive those proposals back to get a really good understanding of the viability of what people want to do, understand where they're going to get their equity, how is this going to work, not just for that enterprise, but the ancillary development. And, Mike, also, if we take that over 1 million square feet of retail space off of the market, as Bert said, it may be demolished, that will bring certainty to those folks trying to lease space on Central Avenue and Albemarle Road. There's been a real stalled emphasis on space out there because of this Eastland Mall behemoth.
Explain that.
Question. Well,
people don't want to build new things.
People don't want to build new, nor do they want to put money in a building on Central Avenue or Albemarle Road because there's this fear that the mall will get resurrected and all their tenants will go back to the mall. So with that out of the mix, I think it brings a lot of certainty to the commercial real estate
market. So if this Eastland Mall property did not exist, would you and people like you who are in the movie business, would you be interested in bringing something like this to Charlotte on another tract of land? Or are you interested because this is the right size in the right place at the right time?
In full disclosure, Mike, we actually have another location that we're looking at outside of Mecklenburg County, which is fairly close.
And the negotiation begins at this table.
Are you listening?
Are you writing this down, Pat? All
right. But Eastland is still our prime number one location because of the economic impact and the revitalization it can have in that area. That's still our number one target location.
Bill from Matthews writes, I would be interested in hearing what the directors of the North Carolina Film Commission and the Charlotte Regional Film Commission think about the plan for an Eastland Studios based on current and projected film and television business coming to the state. I've heard it's called Hollywood East at times during the boom periods and think it would be great if we could pull this off. I just wonder about the viability of Eastland Mall as the best location. Are there any plans in place for the transformation? How does the Film Commission feel about this? Do you know, Pat?
I do know. We stay in contact with the Film Commission, and they're very supportive of this idea. Not specifically that Eastland be redeveloped, but that Charlotte can support this kind of activity. There's a huge crew base right now, and Bert can speak to this better than I, but there's a large crew base that supports the film industry, and that's an attraction to these producers to come to town. Yep, we'd like to keep those jobs.
The people here shooting already, mm-hmm. like Homeland and the other show from Alvin Ball, do so in relative obscurity. Every once in a while you'll drive, like I drove past Queens College last week, and there were all these 20th Century Fox trucks parked on Queens Road, and I knew, well, they're shooting Homeland there today. Right. This building has been transformed into a set for Homeland. But they shoot sometimes late at night, or they're in, they're out, they're quick. You never see anybody except tech people. But mm-hmm. there's an immense number of crew people here for that show and for other projects that come and go. How many people are already here?
Charlotte has a tremendous creative class already here. Unfortunately, there is not enough work to keep them full-time employed, so they will go to Wilmington or Atlanta or Los Angeles to work on projects also. But not only do you recognize the major show times and companies like that filming product, on any weekend there are independent film producers, directors, and they're making their movies, you know, outside of Charlotte. Our goal is to give them a location where the industry can actually thrive now. Remember, we're not just trying to build cavernous sound stages to bring in Hollywood productions. We want to build a creative destination where local craftsmen and talent can work
full-time.
Will
they be able to afford to use it? Because that's film production crews and studios and things are immensely expensive to use.
Well, that's why one of our business models is actually become a financier of some product also to help them. There are a lot of independent film producers that have half their budget done, but they can't raise the second half of it. That's where Central Avenue Pictures would help in the financing stage and then own some of the residuals and help them get going.
We've had The Bachelor. Was it The Bachelorette that was done here recently? The Bachelorette on ABC was taped here. Days of Thunder and Shallow Hal, the dubious distinction of having those movies filmed here. I've already mentioned The Hunger Games. Do we know what the financial impact of having these productions done here has been for Charlotte or for Mecklenburg County? Do we have any idea of the kind of money that – because along with bringing these people here and the money they spend while they're here, the state of North Carolina and other municipal entities generally give these companies tremendous tax breaks that McDonald's doesn't get. So tell me, do we know what the financial impact has been of what we've already had here?
Well, I understand the Hunger Games, the immediate impact was over $60 million to the region.
$60 million.
And then there was a recent study done a couple years ago, I believe, by John Connaughton out at UNCC that stated that the economic impact on the region was $500 million a year, had a greater economic impact than the NBA franchise or the Charlotte Motor Speedway, the NASCAR connection.
Don't bring up the NBA on this program.
You have a greater economic impact on the area than
I think we have more people in our studio than they had in the arena when they played.
We won't
last
go there.
do we know what the economic impact of One Tree Hill and Army Wives has been on Wilmington? Because they do those, they have done those shows
right.
for years.
I don't have that number, but I understand that the Iron Man 3 that is filming there now will have an $80 million direct impact on the Wilmington area. That's one film.
When Mayor Fox, Anthony Fox, was with us on this program last week, one of the things that he mentioned is that Charlotte has matured in terms of its ability to annex. We have historically grown by being able to annex unincorporated areas of the county, and those areas are pretty much run out. And I think state law has shifted to make it more difficult for us to do that anymore. So we now have to look toward maximizing what we already have and making sure that certain areas that are economically disadvantaged are boosted so that they become a generator of revenue. This fits in to that, doesn't it?
It does. This does fit into that strategy.
Has this been discussed as part of that strategy?
Absolutely. That's why the city was interested in purchasing this property, because it goes well beyond the film studios that Bert has been describing. It's about revitalizing that part of town and giving back a sense of place that used to be there so that's attractive to people.
Most people who are listening, maybe a few of them have toured studios when they go to Hollywood, but most people have no idea what a movie studio looks like or what the area around a movie studio looks like. When you walk through the gates at Paramount, for instance, what's around Paramount Pictures?
Oh,
what's it look like?
Small businesses have popped up around all the studios in Los Angeles. An example is a florist in Los Angeles. If they get the assignment to supply flowers to a major motion picture production, it will make their budget for the entire year. not only for the on-set flowers, but the flowers that are sent to producers and the actresses who want flowers in their trailers. So a florist getting one assignment to supply those flowers on a major motion picture makes their entire year.
Same thing for the caterer, because craft services is there every day.
Right. And I think the important thing is our vision, again, when we talk about employment in the area, the employment that will be in and around the studio, if it happens at Eastland, is going to really be for that 99%ers. The majority of people who will be employed out there will be making $60,000 and under, but good wages. And the film industry is an interesting industry where you can start at the bottom of it and work your way up to almost as high as you want to go without having to go back to college for advanced degrees.
Well, that takes us to a question from a listener. So put your headphones on because Jason is in Charlotte. Holding on to talk about, I think, about working in film and benefits for beginners in the industry. Jason, welcome to the program.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Like I was telling the screener, I have a very burgeoning film project company that we're doing. You know, we have about 1,500 views on our YouTube channel. We shoot with a pretty professional DSLR camera, and we're just literally getting started. Would this undertaking with Eastland Mall be something that would benefit someone on that level?
Exactly. That's the type of product that Central Avenue Pictures would look at. And if we decided that it was something that had quality, mm-hmm. we could get involved with someone like him to shepherd him through the entire film process, from creating the script in an order that would make it viable to potentially helping in financing that product, to developing that product with the producer or the director, and eventually helping them market that product to the public.
Would there be volunteer opportunities there?
There'd be volunteer opportunities. There will be assistantship opportunities. There will be scholarship opportunities. We want to tie this into the higher education around the area that will benefit their either film schools or communication schools, to give their students an opportunity to have assistantships on the studio lot, which would validate their program greatly in the eyes of their students.
Jason, thank you for your call. Holly emails an interesting question. He says, please ask your guest, what do you see as the impact of North Carolina's recent enactment of one of the most severe anti-gay laws in the country on our ability to attract the film industry? The state now enjoys a national reputation of being aggressively anti-gay. Given that the film industry is itself one of our gay-friendliest industries, how much of a hindrance is that? That's a damn fine question.
Pat, no, without getting political, some of my closest friends and some of my business associates are gay. I try and separate any kind of political.
Yes, but would they want to come?
I think our business model is we want to attract anybody who wants to help build up this industry, and we're not looking necessarily for religious affiliation, ethnicity, or sexual orientation.
No, but would they feel welcome? I think that
was
the
essence of the question. I think they would. I think Charlotte in this area is changing. It's becoming a little more progressive. It's accepting people a little more than in the past. So I think they would definitely be welcomed here.
David writes, I love this idea. I think you will find where art grows, the community grows, and our next guests would certainly agree with that.
Exactly.
We have to move on, but Bert Hess with Central Avenue Pictures, Pat Mumford with the City of Charlotte, thank you. We'll keep our eyes peeled on this project. Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and the Blowing Rock Art and Antique Show, offering a variety of porcelain, fine arts, antique furniture, folk art, jewelry, silver, and more tomorrow through the 5th, blowingrockmuseum.org. The U.S. Postal Service is bracing for its first ever default on billions of dollars, options for resolving its financial troubles, and the future of the nation's mail service. The topic of our conversation on the Diane Rehm Show coming up in 20 minutes. At 10 o'clock. Who or what is Die Roten Punkte? We're going to find out. We talk to them extensively and exclusively moments from now. Stay with us.
It's brilliant and quietly addictive, says the London Guardian, New York's hottest and hippest literary ticket, according to the Wall Street Journal. They're talking about The Moth, a program dedicated to the art and craft of storytelling. The Moth returns to the WFAE schedule with a new season of fresh programs Fridays at 8 o'clock following This American Life. That's Friday night at 8, right after This American Life, on listener-supported 90.7 WFAE.
Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. The brother-sister duo Die Roten Punkte have returned triumphantly to Charlotte. Yes, they were here about a year ago and impressed audiences so much that they are back by popular demand. If you've seen them, you'll probably be one of the people in the seats during their run at the Duke Power Theater, if you haven't. Well, they're a bit of a challenge to describe, so perhaps we should start by letting their music speak for them. Here they are right now.
People live stumbling in the darkness, moving through the world they look for answers. Lost little sheeps walking near the cliff top. If it was quite windy, they'd go over. You're not one of those. You know who you are. You don't even care what people think. The time has arrived. Hold on to your body. We believe you're ready. It's a rock and roll concert, and I'm a rock and roll monster. And I can't control my hands and feet. When I hear the monster beat.
Die Roten Punkte has toured the world to enthusiastic audiences as attracted to them as people as to the music that they play. Again, their act is a bit of a challenge to describe, so we will let them explain. Die Roten Punkte is Otto and Astrid Roth, and they are with us for the rest of the hour. Help me through this, please.
Hello, Mike. Hello, Charlotte.
Hi, Mike. Hi, Charlotte.
And hello, the whole world, because yeah. This is a podcast as well, is that true?
It's a podcast, and we stream on the internet. The whole world
wow.
is listening.
Because I listen to This American Life on NPR, so it's very exciting for
really?
Me. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Ira Glass.
Ira Glass was our very first guest on this show.
No wow. way!
Uh-huh.
That's so cool. Yeah. So
years ago, he was still in diapers.
Oh, wow.
But he still had the big glasses.
Though. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I love that show.
You love that show. Why haven't you been a part of This American Life? Because evidently you're here enough from Germany.
Yeah.
You're here enough to have become part of This American Life.
Well, we're hoping to be here more. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they do it from Chicago. Is that right? Or New York?
Yeah, Chicago.
Yeah, we haven't been to Chicago.
Really?
So maybe that's why we should go there.
It's just like Charlotte.
Just like Charlotte.
Exactly like it's about
but
the same
with a big,
size.
Big yeah. lake.
Yeah, big lake.
Yeah.
Big lake. We have a big lake. We have two big lakes.
Do you?
Yeah.
I haven't been to the big I heard about the big rock, the sliding rock. You haven't heard of a sliding rock?
Oh, yes. You're about up in the mountains?
Well, I don't know. I just heard you slide on your ass all the way down, and it sounds like a lot of... It's,
really?
It's a thing, Otto. They do it here. They go and they slide down a rock.
Okay.
Sliding rock, it's called.
Now, you are not from around these parts. You are from...
No.
From
We're
Berlin.
From Berlin.
From Berlin.
Yeah.
And you are, I am told, Germany's answer to the American band, the White Stripes.
Yeah.
Yeah, some people say that because, like, Astrid, she plays the drums.
Yes.
And I play guitar.
But their music is a lot more bluesy than ours.
Yeah, that's true.
It's quite different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are probably a little more new wave.
Yeah.
And we play a lot more also, like, electronic music as well as the rock and roll music as well.
Yeah.
We like to dance a lot more.
Yeah, that's true.
And the White Stripes. But it was amazing coincidence when we first saw them on the TV. I was like, Astrid, look. There's
And they wear the same colors as
yeah.
us.
Yeah, and they say, like, they're also brother and sister.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, all these amazing, like, coincidences.
But Meg doesn't talk at all on stage. You know how I like to be quite chatty, Mike, on stage?
Yes, you are somewhat chatty,
yeah,
I must say.
Meg doesn't say anything. Yeah.
How did that happen for you? Because, you know, it's unusual for musicians to have a concert where so much talking goes on, and so much of the talking seems to be impromptu. It seems to be between the two of you kind of working your lives out.
Oh, well, I think we just had a lot of problems last night, Mike. A few things went wrong. Otto hadn't done all his jobs properly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he hadn't tuned his guitar. Remember, he made a mistake in the song. And, you know, we got off to a rocky start. Didn't we? And sometimes, I think...
And then that was in the middle. We had some problems in the middle.
We had a lot of problems then as well.
And towards the end, there was a few problems.
There were a lot of problems towards the end. Yeah.
I noticed that. There were a lot of problems last night. Does that normally happen? Or is that just something, you know, opening night jitters?
No, it kind of happens all the time.
Yeah, some people come to see those problems, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
It's like watching a train wreck.
Yeah, well, for us it's weird because we are serious rock and roll band, but we had this manager.
Bad manager.
Yeah, his name is David Epstein, with two P's.
Yeah, and he keeps putting us into comedy festivals.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and arts festivals as well. And we keep going, where are the music festivals, David?
I'm kind of puzzled by this because you are, your awards that you have, you've received a number of
awards. We win all these comedy awards.
Best production at the Montreal Fringe Festival.
They laughed at us then.
Best cabaret production at Green Room in Melbourne, Australia.
Yeah.
Best of Fest Winnipeg Fringe. Most outstanding production, Ottawa Fringe. Best comedy, Victoria Fringe.
They laughed a lot in Victoria.
You've played the Spoleto Festival in Charleston, and that's something that rock bands don't generally get to play. I'm just curious why you keep getting booked into these theater festivals.
Bad manager.
Why don't you fire him?
No one else will have us.
Yeah.
He's quite mysterious. We don't see him very often. He just sort of sends us a little message.
And Otto, I got to tell you, I felt sorry for you because there are times when I thought, forgive me.
I don't know what you're going to say.
There were times that I thought that Astrid threw you under the bus.
What does that mean?
It means that...
squished you.
Sometimes she blames...
Squished me?
Sometimes... Well, kind of what happened to your parents. But it occurs to me that...
Are you making a joke about our parents?
Yes, forgive me.
Our parents died when we were on the way to the zoo when I was 12.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. What happened? What happened to them?
Well, they got squished by the train.
No, it was a lion.
No, it was a train auto.
They were eaten by a lion.
What?
Yeah, because...
He has arrested development because he was only 9, and so he's very confused about how our parents died.
I don't know why you say
that. We're excited to see the lions, Otto.
It was a big, hairy lion.
Let's go back to Otto in the show. So you're saying
I threw
him under the bus.
Well, it's just that sometimes things happen and you blame Otto for not doing... Oh. You just did it this morning, for not doing all of his jobs. Is he the only one that has jobs, by the way, aside from performing?
Well, he's the only one who will do them, so it's better that he has them.
And so do you sometimes feel that you're being picked on by your sister?
Well, no, because, you know, I like to make sure that things get done properly. And sometimes Astrid, you know, like she asks me to, like, wash her dress and to iron and stuff. And I know that she won't do it. And I don't want her to go on the stage looking bad.
Yeah. Mm.
So that's why I do it.
So your life story, as I understand it, is that when your parents died, you were adopted by your uncle and aunt. And you ran away from them because they were not nice people.
They were not. Yeah.
And that you kind of raised your brother, your little brother.
In a squat.
In a squat.
In Berlin.
What is a squat?
Oh, you don't have squats? Because Charlotte is a very nice place. But in Berlin, particularly quite a while ago, a squat is like an empty building that no one lives in. And then other people who don't have anywhere to live move in and make it their home.
Oh, we have those.
Oh, you have those. What do you call it?
I don't know. But the people living there are called squatters.
Oh. Yeah.
So we do know that.
Yeah, okay. That's if you live in a place and you are a squatter, this is called a squat.
Yeah. And so in the squat we lived in, there were lots of artists and musicians squat in Berlin.
Yeah, everyone was like in a band.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I was the late 80s, so lots of empty buildings.
So back then you took care of him, but now it seems as though he takes care of...
No, he doesn't take care of me. No, I am fine.
Astrid was amazing. Like during this time, you know, like she was like a mother figure to me.
No, I was not.
She like was holding me close to her.
I did not do that,
Otto.
No, I did not do that. I went out and partied and left you alone, remember?
Yeah, but when you came back, you like hold me like when
briefly,
I was scared.
Briefly, because you were making so much noise.
I could feel your heart beating and it made me feel better.
Because I was angry, Otto.
I'm getting very nervous now. But now you're together.
People aren't going to come to the concert. They're going to think that we're going to fight.
You're touring the world. You've been touring the world for quite some time. So how did this begin with you? I guess you were squatting and everybody around you were...
I got some instruments from the private local school.
Yeah, the elementary school.
Yeah. They left them on the street.
Yeah.
And then we became a band. And we tried to play with other people, but no one wanted to play with us.
Yeah. It took us a few years because we had to practice all the things like when you're in a band, like how to like pose for photos.
Yeah, that's important.
Yeah, like was 3 or 4 years.
And Otto had to learn how to do leaps really high.
Yeah.
And windmills with his arm, like Pete Townsend.
Yeah, I was watching lots of
Did you see last night he did the windmill?
Yes, I was very impressed.
Yeah.
Very athletic performance.
And I had to learn to play the drums, which is kind of a work in progress for me.
Really?
Yeah.
I would never have known.
Oh.
Gene Krupa came to mind as you were playing.
Oh, very nice.
You know who Gene Krupa was?
He's jazz.
Wow. Buddy, I am not jazz. I'm more like John Bonham kind of.
Well, you kind of are. Yeah, it's not exactly jazz. Yeah. So the musical style, how would you describe the music that you play?
Well, I would say like new wave. A lot of people think of our name and they see it and they because it's Die Rote Punkte, which means the red dots, right? But people who speak English, it looks like Die Rotten Punk.
I was going to ask you about that. I think that's exactly
not punk.
It's not punk?
No.
Well, it's we have influences that some people call punk back maybe in the late 70s and early 80s, things like the Ramones.
We like the Ramones.
Yeah, but Iggy Pop, but even things like Talking Heads and the B-52s.
David Bowie.
Blondie. You know, so it's more like kind of new wave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And but we also like lots of electronic music, like older stuff like Kraftwerk, but newer things like Hot Chip and dance music.
Passion Pit.
Yeah, we love Passion Pit.
So that explains your look.
Yeah.
As well. Because if you're going to play this kind of music, you have to have the look.
You got to have a look.
And you have the look. And that explains the lipstick and eyeliner. You're wearing far more lipstick and eyeliner than your sister is.
Astrid is actually wearing the same makeup she was wearing last night. It's just she hasn't gone to sleep.
But Otto, I showed Otto how to do his lips because I thought, you know, he should look like Robert Smith from The Cure. And also, he wasn't very good at doing straight, like proper lines. So he just kind of goes like squiggly line on his lips.
She said, "Close your eyes, and you just color your lips with like this."
Because this is radio. You could have come. You didn't have to get all made up.
No, well, Otto doesn't go out anywhere without everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to have you. You brought your guitar this morning, and I wanted to have you play something before we run out of time. And this is one. I think this is one of the songs that you did
last night.
Yeah. And your music does come, I'm told, from your life experience.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, this song is more of a metaphor. It's an inspiration for us because you were talking to those gentlemen before about making dreams come true and things, taking things to the next level. And this song is about a dinosaur that works in a burger store, but he is saving up his money because he has got aspirations.
Yeah.
And that's like Otto and I. We have aspirations too, don't we?
Yeah, I can relate to this guy because this little dinosaur, he works in a burger shop.
Yeah, I said that.
But I'm just saying he's vegetarian.
Oh, yeah.
So he's bad. It's a bad job for him. But I am also I'm vegan, straight edge.
Well, that explains your complexion. It's very clear.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. I just, because I'm wearing probably a lot of white on my face.
Oh, that could also explain your complexion.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, shall we sing the song?
Okay, we'll sing the song.
So just hit me a chord on that guitar once, because we haven't done a sound check.
Okay,
now we're ready. Checking. We're ready.
Okay,
we're ready.
We're going to sing the song now, okay?
Okay.
You might want to guess some of the lines.
Okay.
Because they kind of rhyme and stuff. Okay. We'll do a little bit first, though, won't we, Otto?
Yeah, but don't shout into the mic because you're singing.
Am I shouting?
Now. Yeah, you're shouting a little bit.
Am I shouting, Charlotte? Sorry.
Don't shout too loud in the mic because it will explode in people's ears. Ready? Oh, you didn't start singing.
I'm trying not to shout.
Yeah, but you don't at least sing.
Okay.
Just do some.
Give me a little sing. Okay.
Are you ready?
Mike.
Here we go.
He's running late for his job after school. Burger store, dinosaur. Flipping the meat don't make him feel cool. Herbivore, dinosaur. Counting the minutes, watching the clock. Dinosaur, nothing ever changes here in Little Rock.
You can guess this, David.
Dinosaur.
No, Arkansas what? Dinosaur.
Arkansas, of course, from Little Rock. Sorry, I'm a slow learner.
That's okay.
Look at his mind, he's interesting. Look at his eyes, he's mysterious. Why can't you see this is not me? You have to believe.
just mean he's always picking a fight. On the floor, dinosaur. He knows karate, but it wouldn't be right. Anti-war, dinosaur. The bag was bursting when he took out the trash. Dinosaur, dinosaur. Over his body, meat juice goes splash. Poor dinosaur, look at his mind. He's thinking. Look at his eyes. He's curious. Why can't you see this is not me? You have to believe I'm more than a Bagasaur dinosaur. Can't take it anymore. Searching, yearning. He lies down on his bed and counts his coins again. It won't be long until he flies off in that plane. He went to Spain to study surreal art.
No.
Can I guess
anything? No.
No, I.
Charlotte, no. Anyone guessing out there?
No.
It's Salvador Dinosaur. Got an apartment, it's a whole new start. Lives next door, dinosaur. Fucked up Zakari, just a girl on a date. Evermore, dinosaur. She said you're green and cute and that would be great.
Si, senor, dinosaur.
Look at his mind. He's interesting.
We're almost out of time, dinosaur.
Think fast. Look at his eyes, he's
curious. I have to stop you because we're out of time.
Oh, no. You have to come and see the show to find out what happens to the dinosaur.
Exactly. Die Rottenpunki at Spirit Square's Duke Power Theater through Sunday, 704-372-1000. Our guest today, Otto Roth and his sister, Astrid Roth. I want to apologize on behalf of all of Charlotte that last night during your concert, we were laughing so much.